Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, January 10th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's episode topic is how the holidays went. But first, let's meet today's guests. We have back the same people who have been discussing the holidays with me all of last year. Joining us is Senior Director of Briefings, Jeremy Goldman. Hey, Jeremy.
Great to be with you.
And also with us is Senior Analyst Zach Stambor. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Sarah. Hey, Jeremy.
Happy not holidays to both of you. Happy end of holidays. Let's get started with Free Sample. Our Did You Know segment, where I share a fun fact, tidbit, or question. Today, I've got a stat for you. $743 billion. That's how much U.S. retail returns amounted to in 2023, according to the National Retail Federation and APRIS Retail. As a percentage of sales, that number, the total return rate for 2023, was 14.5%. So 14.5% of sales in 2023 were returned, according to the NRF. That's wild to me. I don't think I made a single return this year. Are you guys big returners?
No, not at all.
I absolutely am. And I think that, you know, part of it is I can just say, well, I cover this stuff. So it's a good excuse for me to be part of the economy. So I get to buy more things and wardrobe at home. And, you know, a lot of other people do the same based off of the data.
So, Jeremy, are you a bracketer? You're buying things and returning things that don't fit?
Oh, very much. Yeah. I think when in doubt, I mean, especially if you got to think about it, a lot of people are, let's face it, kind of gaining weight more than losing it over the holiday season. So I always think there's a chance that I've gone up a size and therefore I'm just going to buy the stuff. And frankly, with some companies, you know, especially households, get used to just returning a ton of stuff, particularly to places that they order from frequently, like Amazon. And it gets built into the cost structure of these companies.
Okay, you heard it here. As your prices go up and your free returns go away, you can blame Jeremy Goldman. Now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic, as I mentioned before, is how the holidays went. It's January. The holiday season is over, depending on who you ask. But I've decided it's over, and I'm ready to move on. But not before we have one final discussion for how the holiday season really went. We made a bunch of predictions. Tell me, how did the holiday retail season actually shake out?
So the numbers are still flowing in, but by and large, despite lingering inflation, despite relatively sluggish consumer confidence and shrinking excess savings, people still pulled out their wallets and spent. And you can look at various different numbers that have come out, whether it's the November Commerce Department numbers, where retail sales were up 4.1% year over year, or the MasterCard Spending Pulse data that tracks spending from November 1st to December 24th, which had a 3.1% gain, or the Adobe e-commerce sales data over the final 2 months of the year, which had online sales up 4.9% year over year. But by and large, there's a clear trend, which was a relatively strong, but not far from spectacular holiday season.
Yeah. I mean, just to add to that, I think the Adobe numbers, which came out recently, were really interesting because you get to pull a number of different insights from that. And, you know, whether or not we should start tracking the holiday season at November 1st, you know, can certainly be up for debate given how many sales happened in October. But I think one of the things that definitely struck me is the rise in BNPL payment platforms. You know, that's something that continues to go up, you know, which does make you think, like, is there a ceiling? Is there a certain point where people stop putting things on credit and, you know, buying through BNPL? And then those forms of commerce just dry up over time. So I think that that's kind of probably going to be a problem for another day. But those numbers were really interesting to watch this year.
Yeah, I mean, we had mild growth this holiday season, but mild growth when there's always growth makes it a record-breaking holiday season in terms of spend, with that Adobe number being $222 billion being spent online between November 1st and December 31st. So where is the growth coming from?
It's actually really interesting in terms of the categories that were strong, because a lot of them were categories that haven't been strong for most of the year. Electronics and appliance sales were strong. Apparel sales were strong. Furniture sales were strong. And a lot of that was due to people finding good deals. Those were some of the most heavily discounted categories. And so people saw those discounts and decided to spend.
Yeah, I think that that was definitely a huge part of the story. I think it's also interesting, like, I know I've talked a lot, you know, with you in the past about the spreading out of the whole entire season. But I thought one other thing that I thought was really interesting is, besides that more people are transacting via smartphones, but that consumers spent the most via mobile on Christmas Day, driving 63% of online sales that day. And it just kind of goes to show that not everybody is buying other people, you know, Christmas presents. They more so get in the spirit of purchasing, even if it's after, you know, when you would kind of think that the spending would start to slow down.
Yeah, I bought a lamp on my phone on Christmas Day because I was bored and I remembered I needed a lamp. So I'm definitely contributing to those furniture, e-commerce, Christmas Day mobile sales.
Yeah, mobile shopping has just become the norm for so many consumers. This year, for the first time, Adobe reported that mobile shopping outpaced desktop shopping. And it even outpaced our, what I thought was a fairly aggressive projection of 49.6% share of online sales. So I think you're far from alone, Sarah, in pulling out your phone and just spending, because the experience has become really good.
Yeah, I mean, this is a conversation that we could talk about forever, but I do find myself more and more pulling out my phone to make a purchase. I bought plane tickets the other day and I looked them up online, but then I actually made the purchase through the app on my phone because that's where the Delta app lives and that's the easiest place for me to make the purchase. So obviously plane tickets are separate, but yeah, definitely seeing that behavior in myself.
And Sarah, to your point, I think a lot of brands and retailers have noticed that it really pays to have a really strong omni-channel experience. And it almost doesn't matter necessarily which channel, if it's mobile or desktop, you know, gets credit for the sale, because people are also doing the same thing almost in reverse, you know, using the Amazon app to add things to their cart. And then, you know, remember later, by the way, I forgot to check out, and then checking out from desktop at home. You know, if you can have a really strong unified experience, and the same thing goes with online and offline, right? If you can go into a store and essentially have bookmarked a number of different things and then to be able to find them seamlessly in store, you know, retailers are realizing that that's the type of experience that it, you know, winds up paying for itself over time.
Speaking of customer experience, for the past year, we've been seeing headlines mentioning a vibe session. Essentially, the economy has felt bad. Products feel expensive. Spending feels risky. It feels like there may be a recession, but there isn't actually a recession, or there hasn't been one. Bloomberg columnist Connor Sen wrote in December that we're finally shaking off those vibe session feelings. So my question for both of you is, are we out of the vibe session?
It's a really good question. And it's hard to say, because there has been such a strong disconnect between consumer behavior and consumer sentiment, or what people are saying, how they feel. If you look at what they're doing, they've been spending all along. I mean, what we have seen over the course of the last year is the American consumer has been incredibly resilient. Third quarter GDP growth was incredibly strong. It's probably going to slow a bit in Q4, but all in all, it's still strong. And it's an election year, and so there's going to be a lot of vibes flowing out from both sides of the aisle.
Both sides of the vibe aisle?
Yeah. And so there's a segment of consumers who are always going to feel bad when the opposite side of the aisle is in power. So I don't know how much it's going to change, but I think people will continue to spend.
You know, just throw something else in there. I'm curious what you guys think, but there is the survey of consumers from University of Michigan that we look at pretty frequently. Yeah. And, you know, the consumer sentiment for December was 13.7% up month over month, 16.6% up year over year. And then the index of consumer expectations, which is a little bit different, was actually up 18.7% month over month, 12.3% up year over year. So when you look at those three different metrics, and each one of them is up over 10%, that tells you something. That tells you that there is, you know, a lot of, you know, good vibes that are still around. But yeah, I think there is a lot of trepidation about what the second half of the year might look like too. So people are cautiously optimistic. And a lot of the marketers that we speak to are also cautiously optimistic. A lot of data suggests that they are going to be spending more to reach consumers and to build their retail presence in the year ahead.
One reason for that uptick in December, I think, is gas prices in particular. Gas prices have such a huge impact on how people feel, and gas prices are pretty low right now. That said, two of the other reasons that people haven't been feeling great, I think, are unlikely to resolve themselves. And that's, it's just become so difficult to afford to buy a car and to buy a house. And that's a bad feeling when you just feel as though you can't get a new car, you can't buy a house. And that's unlikely to change this year, even as the Fed is likely to cut interest rates.
Yeah, Zach, you also mentioned to me that restaurant spend is outpacing inflation. I feel like that's a good indicator that the vibes are kind of good. Restaurants feel good vibes to me. I think there are a lot of factors that could shake that up in January. COVID, for example, is really high right now. That might be a hit on restaurants, or it might not be. But I do think that that's contributing to our vibe meter here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because restaurant spending was really strong, which is just another one of these indicators that the way in which people behave and what they say don't necessarily align. And it goes very much in line with what we've seen over the past year in terms of people looking to experiences, to spend time with people, to indulge in things like dining out that are just kind of fun.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to end this first half on. I want to look forward to the rest of the year. Yeah, so let's do it. It's time for our segment, Red Hot Retail. This is our guest's opportunity to give us their very specific and potentially risky predictions on a topic. The predictions could be mild, medium, spicy, or extra hot. So, Zach and Jeremy, I've asked you both to make approximately 1 million holiday 2023 predictions so far. Today, I'm asking you both to make the first two predictions our listeners will hear for the 2024 holiday season. That's right, we're already kicking it off. I also want to hear two things that you would like to see this holiday season. I know we're 9 months out, and this is an impossible task, 10 months out, depending on who you ask. But I don't care. Tell me what's in store for holidays 2024. Let's start off with predictions. Zach, what is your first spice level and first prediction?
Yeah, so my spice level, I just looked up the Scoville scale, and I think this is like a habanero. It's like kind of middle of the road. Like, it's spicy, but it's not like super, super spicy. So I think the presidential election is going to have a major impact on holiday sales. Let's not look to 2020 because that was such a weird year. But if you look back to the 2015 and 2016 holiday seasons, you saw huge increase in terms of growth rate. In 2015, holiday sales grew just 2%. A year later, when Trump was elected, holiday sales rose 4.1%. And I think a lot of that spending was people, a sizable segment of the population, feeling like the election of Donald Trump was the end of the world, so we might as well just spend like it. And I think this time around, no matter who wins, there's going to be a sizable segment of the population that's going to feel like this is the end of the world, so we might as well spend like it. And so I think the presidential election is going to impact how consumers spend.
Yeah, I definitely agree with this. I mentioned to both of you that something that I sort of feel in my vibe meter for this year is this trend of like gluttonous grandiosity, where things are starting to feel a little bit better, but at the same time, there's sort of a sensation that the world is ending. I'm not saying it's ending, but like there's this like feeling. And I think that as a result, people are spending. Jeremy, what is your spice level and prediction?
I don't think this is so spicy, so I'll say it's like more like a Serrano, you know, like a background substance. I think that you're going to see a lot more partnerships in order to drive consumer interest in both online and offline channels, you know, during the holiday season. Part of that is just because it becomes so expensive to reach consumers. And this is one way to essentially, you know, earn some media coverage. It's a way of getting your brand in front of like-minded brands, you know, like we saw partnerships like Anthropology and Pinterest, you know, Saks and Dior. And there are a lot of other unconventional ones that we saw this past holiday season. And I'm expecting that you're definitely going to see more of it, just simply for that reason, that it is a great way to reach people in a low cost, low stakes kind of way.
Yeah, partnerships was one of our overall trends for 2024. And in that, we mentioned really big ones like Amazon and Meta, for example. But I think you're spot on about these like unexpected or more niche partnerships. I mean, you see buzz around companies creating new unusual products, new unusual experiences through partnerships between two companies that you didn't expect to see working together. McDonald's and Crocs is the most obvious one that I can think of. I think that's the kind of thing that we're going to keep seeing. Moving on to things you would like to see this holiday season, but I'm going to make you guys assign a spice level to these also because I like it when you guys name peppers for me. So Zach, give me a spice level and something you'd like to see this holiday season.
I'm going to tone it down a bit. Go to a just a jalapeno.
Okay.
So I'd like to see better personalized offers. I recently saw some survey results that just 44% of consumers who received tailored offers said that those offers were actually relevant to their needs. And it doesn't surprise me, just based on my own experience. A lot of the time that you get personalized offers or tailored discounts or whatnot, it just doesn't align with what it is that you actually want or need. And there are a lot of reasons for that, largely just because most retailers have a narrow view of who you are, what you want, what you like. And so hopefully this holiday season, retailers find ways to better understand what it is that consumers want and deliver more finely tuned discounts and offers.
That makes sense. I mean, as retail media ad spend goes up, as AI improves, this seems like the next logical step is personalized offers.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jeremy, give me a spice level and something you would like to see this holiday season.
I think that this is maybe a little bit, it's higher than a habanero. So there's a Red Savina habanero, which is not quite at the chocolate level, but it's an or ghost pepper, but it's you know, like a little bit higher up there.
That seems really spicy.
It is, but I mean, it depends who you are. Like I can handle that. I don't mean to brag, but, you know, one time we'll have like an actual hot pepper.
We'll do like hot ones. We'll eat them on air.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that. And we'll record it. Okay. And we will post it on YouTube. No, but in all seriousness, I will say that there will be a lot of brick and mortar retailers that will just not lean into necessarily the experiential aspects of their retail, and they will just watch their stores die a slow death or blame it on organized, you know, retail crime rings, even though that was far overblown, as we all know. And I think that there's going to be what I'd like to see, at least, is it leaning into the experiential aspects of stores, doing more loss leaders and gift with purchases, compelling things that actually made the channel stand out from the crowd. And you have to look at it about the fact that you have this big physical infrastructure, leverage it as best you can. You know, you see retailers like Target using their, you know, stores as distribution centers because they're trying to maximize the potential of that physical location. And you can do the same thing in front of the scenes by creating some excitement in store and giving people a reason to go. If you don't do that, then obviously more and more will start to move towards e-commerce, which is great for some players, but it's also going to be eating into your overall margins if you can't maximize your brick and mortar presence.
I think you're right, because akin to something Blake said on a recent episode, maybe our last one, this is also a content creation opportunity, right? When you make events, you are making a space where creators or average shoppers can make content with the potential to go viral or even somewhat viral on TikTok. And that becomes an omni-channel e-commerce opportunity in itself. It becomes native advertising in itself. So it's not just this in-store is we're also investing in it. It's we're investing in in-store that turns into content creation opportunities, that turns into either paid advertising, if they put paid money behind it, or into e-commerce. And it sort of fulfills this cycle.
Amen.
Okay, well, that is all we have time for today. So I'm officially calling it the end of this holiday season. Thank you so much for joining me this holiday season, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you for spending these holidays with me, Jeremy.
It was great to be with you both.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Insider Intelligence. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast, turning every episode into a vibes session, but like vibes, plural, space, session, like a session for vibes. I can assure our listeners that Zach and Jeremy are laughing on mute. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.